Hannah, I'm going to see if you can put that picture up of the boxes. Is that available to us? Sometimes it is, and sometimes it isn't. Here we go. Yay! So this is a picture. This week, we received a beautiful donation from a person who works at Dare Foods. And this person heard about our Snack Attack program through a family friend of ours and was deeply drawn in to the good work of the Gathering Church, to the love of God being expressed through healthy snacks each week. And so this person contacted me and said, would you be willing to write up a letter about what your church does? And on your behalf, I will take this to my supervisor at Dare Foods. And so this is the result of, I just think, God's provision and of this person being drawn to the works of the ministry of God. And this is like a huge donation. This is 864 bear paws, which actually represents over 3 weeks of snacks, like being able to put a bear paw in each of the kids' bags for 3 weeks, which is lovely on these cold winter days where we're lacking sunshine and some energy. And so I just want to say, Gathering Church, a couple of songs we sang today were like, go and serve and be present. And as people observe the work of God, they're drawn into it. And so for that, we're really, really thankful. I'm also going to invite us to pray a prayer that we prayed last week, and we're going to pray it together each week of this series. And so it is a prayer of inviting God in to being our guide. And I encourage us to read together and be reflective as we also read. Let's pray together. God of today, tomorrow, and yesterday, as we begin this new year, we once again find ourselves looking for you. We know what it feels like to look for God. We know what it feels like to turn our heads up to the sky, looking for stars, listening for a voice that calls and guides us. Even this morning, as we join together, we may be hoping that in the midst of this messy world, we might catch a glimpse of God, a glimpse of you that will carry us through. The good news is that you are here with us. So we come. We come seeking, we come hungry, come curious, we come open. To you we come. Amen. About once a year, on a random kind of moment, our family will find themselves in conversation recounting the ways that God has spoken to us or guided us or cared for us over the years of being family. And the moments that we talk about are often moments that I think of are the marker moments of God in our lives. And there are ones that are very familiar that we just recount year after year. And these become a firm foundation for us. In reflecting on these moments, we are deeply encouraged and we are thankful for God's active engagement in our lives. And at the beginning of each new year, I also reflect on God's guidance and provision to me and to the Gathering Church. And it is so deeply encouraging to reflect back on the year and to see evidence of God's presence and of God's faithfulness. We're not so far into January that you can't take a moment to recount back to 2023 of where you saw evidence of God's faithfulness and generosity and guidance in your life. I am confident that God actively guides us in a multitude of ways. There are endless accounts of God's guiding groups of people and individuals in Scripture. And I find it encouraging and inspiring to read of the many different ways that God guides people in Scripture and also to listening to the stories of others when they share about God's guidance in their lives. And so when you look back on your life, how do you typically hear God or experience God's guidance? How do you typically hear God or experience God's guidance. Last week, I shared that the way I believe that God most often guides me is through what I call nudges. And this week, I read an article that called this an instinctual feeling. And so this nudge or this feeling has become very familiar to me over my lifetime. When I experience it, I choose to listen and examine what I'm being guided by God to do. And this can be simple as calling a person or sharing a word of comfort or wisdom with someone. And these nudges also happen in more significant areas of where guidance is desired, where I've been seeking guidance from God. And sometimes these nudges come when that thing that I'm being guided into is not even on my radar, and God is beginning something very, very new. So again, when you look back on your life, how do you typically hear God or experience God's guidance? And as I ask this question, I'm making a couple of assumptions. First, that God, in fact, does speak to us. And second, that God doesn't speak in only one way. In John 15:15, Jesus calls his disciples his friends. As disciples of Jesus, we are also named his friends. Jesus says, I'm no longer calling you servants, because servants don't understand what their master is thinking and planning. No, I've named you friends, because I've let you in on everything I've heard from the Father. Friend is a term of endearment. To be called a friend means that there is a relationship between the two. There is trust. There is shared communication. There is a partnership. Luke and Katie read from a psalm this morning, and these words from the Psalms just represent such a close and trusted friendship that God has with us. It says, the Lord confides in those who fear him. Think of the honor it is when someone confides in you, when someone asks you to hold something special or dear or important or hard for them. And as friends of God, God confides in us. When Jesus calls us his friends, it shows that he desires partnership with us. He wants to have rich communication with us, communication that involves hearing each other. God wants to partner with us, and therefore God will speak to us. Again, we see evidence of this all throughout Scripture. God's ways of guiding us are active and engaged, and they come in a multitude of ways. So using John 15:15 as a guide, let's say that hearing from God begins in friendship. It is more than just asking God about big decisions or help to figuring out plans. With God as our friend, we seek to receive God's guidance and presence in our everyday lives. I love that Chris and Amanda sang a song that is from 1 Samuel 3. And we've looked at this passage before as a congregation, but it's just such an important passage. So 1 Samuel 3 tells of Samuel's very first encounter with God's voice. We read of young Samuel who is learning under his mentor Eli. And one night, both Samuel and Eli had gone to bed, and God called Samuel by name. And this happens three times. And each time, Samuel thinks that it's Eli. So he would go to Eli and say, here I am, you called me. And after the third time, Eli realized that it was God speaking to Samuel. So he instructed Samuel to go and lie down. And if he calls you, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood there calling as the other times, Samuel, Samuel. And then Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. So this encounter reveals to us that God does speak to us. And his desire is that we will know his voice. He continues to call to Samuel until Samuel recognizes his voice. He doesn't stop after one time. He doesn't try to hide his voice or make it unclear. He continues to speak Samuel's name, and he brings a partner in as an Eli to help Samuel recognize that this is God. And I believe this is how God is with us. He continues to reveal himself until we recognize it as being God. Scripture tells us that Samuel, before this encounter, did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. So we are reading this beautiful encounter of Samuel's first time hearing, experiencing, knowing the guidance of God and his love. And then, as you continue to read through scriptures about the prophet Samuel, hear just how many times God speaks and guides Samuel. Do you recall when you first recognized God's voice as guidance in your life? Does that remain the primary way that God continues to speak to you and to guide you? Some of us are looking way back and trying to remember or being able to remember the first time that we recognize God's voice in our lives. The story of Saul, whose name was changed to Paul, is another example of someone hearing from God for the first time. Acts 9 tells of this encounter. It reads, "Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, 'Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?' 'Who are you, Lord?' Saul asked. 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting,' he replied. 'Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do.'" Very first encounter, it was clear enough that Saul asks, "Who are you? What is this voice? Where is it coming from?" I remember when our daughter Mallory told me with confidence about the first time that she heard God's voice. And I asked her how she knew it was God. And she simply said, "I have no doubt. And at the same time, I can't explain it." And this same way is the way that God continues to speak to Mallory. And she's become very familiar with God's voice. God speaks and guides us in the ways that we will know that it is him. And God has more than one way of speaking to and guiding us, as evidenced in Scripture and in the accounts from people. This past Monday evening at small group, we went around the table and we shared the primary way that we believe God speaks to us. And so here are the responses from a group of individuals around a table. So how does God guide you? What is a primary way? A sense of peace, a nudge, certainty, hindsight, where provision or goodness of God can be seen as we look back at an episode of our life. Through the intersection of paths, through answers to prayer, through the inclination, this desire, this growing within us to pray about something. God saying to continue, to keep going. A word being confirmed by a group of others or by witnesses. By open and or closed doors. Through signs of confirmation. Through specific people. Through scripture. Through a sense of God guiding. It was this God on the horizontal with us. God leading the way. There are just unlimited ways that God speaks and guides us. Some others are an intuition or a gut feeling that people come to know as God, through words, through artwork, through music, through stories, through images, through dreams, through nature, through community, through children. What about you? How do you most often hear from God? And did I miss any ways? Are you someone who hears from God through creation? Psalm 19, verses 1 and 2 reads, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pour out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge." And so if nature is the primary way that God speaks to you, then you have experienced messages from God in creation. This Christmas, as a family, we went for a walk on a beach near Wyarton called Big Bay, and the shore of this beach is completely covered with stones. And I asked my family to participate with me in a reflective exercise, asking each of them to find a stone that represented their last year with God. So, we're not a perfect family. There was groaning. There is a little bit of skepticism. There might have been someone who said, "I'm not sure if I'm going to participate." But at the end, we all participated, and it was so amazing how God spoke to each of us through these simple stones. And on the screen, you're going to see a picture of some of these stones, and mine is a stone at the front, and unfortunately, the picture didn't capture it. But on this stone, embedded in this stone, is actually an X. It's right in there. It's amazing that this X is there. So you can't really see it on the screen, but this is the rock. And so for me, this year contained something very, very hard, the death of my closest friend. And I didn't know while walking on that beach if God would allow that to be acknowledged, if it was going to be okay for me to say, actually, there is something in this past year that honestly really sucked and it was hard. And here before me is this stone with an X on it, which just said to me, God sees me, knows me, recognizes how hard that was. And on the back of that rock, it just represented new growth for me somehow, that X isn't going to be what continues, but new growth and new seasons of God's love will continue in my life. Mallory's stone is the one on top of mine, so it looks like a little Oreo cookie almost. And the dark line in the center of the stone was like shimmery gold, very brilliant and sparkly. Mallory and Aaron faced 5 months of Aaron not being employed this last year. Mallory's in school, Aaron lost his job. It was a very, very challenging year. And yet they experienced God's goodness and provision. And so as Mallory looked at the stone, she said that she saw God's shimmering presence in it. Just a reminder that he is always with her and always with them. If you desire to receive God's guidance through creation, I encourage you to go for a walk in nature and be really actively attuned to signs of God around you. For some, you may hesitate about this, but if you want, I encourage you to give it a try. For it is God who says that he will speak through creation. Music is an important part of our worship services, and through singing songs, we offer God our praise and our thanksgiving. And music is also a way that God will speak to us as individuals and as a gathered church of faith. I love that Amanda said this morning that this song was buzzing through her head all week, and she takes it as being God's guidance to bring that song to us this morning. I always look forward to worshiping God through songs on a Sunday morning. And often God speaks to me through lyrics. Not very often do I know all the songs that are coming. And it often is on a Sunday morning where I'm like, oh, that is a song just for me that guides me into a closer relationship or a time of reflection with God. A couple of months ago, we as a congregation were singing the song where the lyrics in it are, "I am not alone." And my experience of that song was that we all started singing it very individually. And it was kind of a defeated sense of singing, "I am not alone." And then all of a sudden, I believe that we began to really resonate and believe in the words. And we started to sing with our voices joined together. And suddenly we were singing together, "I am not alone," like an anthem. And this has stayed with me. It has stayed with me that we as a congregation are not alone and that I am part of this congregation and part of God's family, and I am also not alone. As singing songs of worship are incorporated in each of our worship services, I encourage you and myself to be attentive for God's voice of guidance as you are singing. Listen as you sing. Reflect as you sing. Let the words of the song come to life within you. Let them guide you. Let them be God's voice, because music is a way that God guides us. An experience of peace is another way that many say God speaks to and guides them. Philippians 4 offers a beautiful description of the peace of God. It says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." The New Living Translation reads, "Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand." This peace that is beyond our understanding is really amazing to experience. It cannot be shaken. It settles deep within us. And it is a peace that gives us a knowing that God is present and is offering his guidance through this sense of peace. If peace is a dominant way that God speaks to you, that God guides you, then you actually know of this peace that is probably beyond your own description, but it is a peace that you have come to trust. The opposite of peace is unsettledness, and God also uses this to guide us. In this, we experience an uneasiness or a doubting or a feeling that we know that something is not right, or we should not continue in the way that we're going. It can be like a stop, or it can be like a turn, or it can be just a stop, step back and pause. Don't make that decision quite yet. And I think this is one of the ways that God speaks to us that we don't always acknowledge as being from God, that sometimes we may think it's just our natural intuition or good decision making. But I encourage us to pay attention to these feelings of unsettledness, that if we receive them as being God's guidance, then we're able to really give God great thanksgiving when we recognize, this was in fact a way that we were not supposed to be going. And so by being attentive, we begin to see God's patterns of guidance in our lives, and we respond more quickly to trusting in God. God provided guidance to the Magi through this star, and the star led them to Jesus. Another way that God might do this is not through a star, but through a sign of God's guidance. And it was God who used a sign to guide the gathering church to be planted, to be started in the Activa community. Jim Leptison was the founding pastor, and he talks about seeing a billboard sign, and within him, it just sparked that this is God, and this is where God wants this church to be. And from seeing that sign and talking with a group of faithful, wise people, he began to explore areas or places that the church could actually meet. So God guided the Magi with a star to go and to find Jesus, and then he used a dream to tell them to go back another way. So it says in Matthew 2, "And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route." So in our story of Jesus coming as Emmanuel, there's a star that guides and a dream that guides. How comfortable are you saying that God speaks to you and guides you? Maybe you struggle with this idea. Maybe you get a little, I don't know if I should be saying that or even thinking that or trying that. Maybe you question whether you've heard from God or not in your lifetime. And this is absolutely okay. This is not a test. But I want us to know that God does desire to speak to you and to speak to me. It's not always easy for us to say that God spoke to us. Sometimes we actually tire if we're around people who constantly say, "God told me this," or "God guided me this way." But I really encourage us to be on the lookout for God's guidance in our lives, just to open ourselves up a little bit to the possibility to trust a little more, to be like Samuel and say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening," and then to trust what you hear or experience. And again, just remember that that was Samuel's very first time in hearing God's voice, and from there he learned to recognize and trust God's guidance. Once we begin to understand how we tend to hear from God, we develop a listening style between us and God. We stay tuned to God's voice as we trust that he does speak to us. And as we follow the voice, the signs, the nudges, the peace that we experience, the fullness of God comes into our lives. Let's pray. God, I thank you that you call us your friends, that I am, that we are friends of God. And thank you that this friendship is one full of communication, of confiding. God, may we be people of faith. Faith that you indeed do speak, and that you will speak to us as individuals. May we be a little more courageous this week, maybe, to say, "Speak, Lord, I am listening." May our ears be attuned. May we pause. May we trust. We ask these in your name.